The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. Now, I realize that was a different sound effect, so shout out to the three people that have noticed that. I'm very particular about how this podcast sounds, and the fact that the drive that I store all my podcast parts is down is driving me crazy, but luckily, I had everything else backed up except my normal swoosh sound effect, so that's the only thing that may be in jeopardy. So send out some prayers and positive vibes to my sound effects, or... And I'm just throwing this out there. You can use that energy for something a little more important, like athletes that have trained their entire lives to go to the Olympics. As of right now, the games are still set to go, but Japan has said that they are open to canceling the games due to the new variant of COVID-19. So we'll see. If the games are canceled, I will feel absolutely terrible for my guest today, Tyra Gittens, who is as nice of a person as they come. Tyra is set to represent her home country of Trinidad and Tobago in the long jump and has worked her entire life for this moment. Tyra went to Ensworth School right here in Nashville, so I'm gonna root her on, and hopefully after hearing this you will too, regardless of where you're from. So let's do it. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Polo
Gitti. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 37 of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, Tyra Gittens, competing in the 2020 Olympics coming up in Tokyo.
Woo! Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Let's get your story, because I think it's interesting. You're competing for Trinidad and Tobago, which I'm guessing is your home country where you're from.
Yes.
But you also spent a lot of time here in Nashville, Tennessee, correct?
Yeah. My family, we moved to the U.S. I want to say like 14 years ago. I was young. So I spent the majority of my life in the U.S., but Trinidad is my home nation. I am a citizen of Trinidad. So, yeah, I couldn't picture myself representing anybody else, even though, I love it here. This is where I do call home. But
I completely understand. So did your parents move straight here to Nashville, or did you guys?
Nashville.
What made them choose Nashville? Do you know?
Yeah. So my dad in Trinidad was a gospel singer, music producer. And, he did some stuff with Vince Gill and Amy Grant. Those are two of my favorite people down there. Definitely we moved there for music reasons. My dad is a musician, like I said, and what better place to move than Nashville?
Right.
Nashville.
So you started competing. How old were you when you started competing?
11. I started track and field officially at 11. I went to Ensworth Elementary through high school. And so we had this thing called field day. And, the track and field part of it was my time to shine.
Nah.
It wasn't official. That was like when I was younger. I didn't like officially do it. But that's when I found it. I was like, oh, wait. I'm kind of good at this.
So when you figured out that you were kind of good at it, and you're probably what, like the fastest kid in class, something like that, or you could jump the furthest or whatever it was within your class, that's one thing. But like now you're going to the Olympics, so at some point throughout your life, you had to know, okay, I'm not just better than everybody in school. I'm like better than literally almost everybody on the planet. Like, when did that kind of click?
Honestly, in high school, still to this day, one of my proudest achievements is getting 17 state titles. That's when I was just like, oh.
Okay.
I'm the real deal. But yeah, because I did the pentathlon, I did open high jump, open 200, open long jump, and open 100 hurdles. And so I did 5 events every year on top of another 5 events in the pentathlon. So I did 10 events every single year. And that's when I knew I had something special, because I knew what a multi was. And a true multi and like world-class multis, they're not only able to do the multi, but they're able to do the individual events open on a large scale, on a world-class scale as well.
Right.
So from a young age, that was my goal. And once I realized that, oh my gosh, I can actually do this. I was like, you know what? Okay, let's go.
How is it? Because I know with the events that you compete in, you're not just training for one event. You're not just running. You're not just jumping. You're doing like all of these things. How is training for that? Because that seems intense.
It's exactly how you think it is. It's hilarious. It's honestly, it takes a certain type of person. I'm not trying to say I'm special or anything, but it does take a certain type of person because you have a lot to train for. I train for 3 events in a day. My days are stretched out. I train for 6 hours. You know, I'm the first one at the track and the last one to leave. And so it's a lot, but I definitely think I was born for it. Like I said, I was bred for it.
What makes you want to take that on? Like
the culture of the heptathlon, Maltese, decathlon, heptathlon, the culture of it. I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with the idea that a human being can do 10 events or 7 events and train for it. The goal is to master all 7 events. Jackie Joyner, she was the only one to actually master 7 events. Because ideally, you want to get 1,000 points in each event. And not every single event is scored the same. So, you know, throws would be scored lower than your jumps. And so she mastered all 7 events. And that is my goal. It's amazing. It's because this summer is the first summer I actually have been training for 1 event only in my whole entire life. And I was like, I've learned so much in 2 weeks. I was like, this is what it's like. this is awesome. But it still doesn't fulfill me because I want to be the best. And I think the Maltese, the heptathletes, those are the ultimate athletes. The decathletes, because it's amazing what they do.
And how many of those do you do? If we're not familiar with watching that particular event, how many of those do you do in each day when you're competing? Is it like you do all 10 events in one day, or are you just doing one day? Okay.
So normally how my season would go, I would train. Okay. So I would never do 2 running events in the same day. A 2-day training day would be, I'll do jumps and then I'll do hurdles. Or a running event. Or I'll do throws and I'll do jumps. And I'll probably do like an 800 workout. You have to kind of switch it up because you don't want, jumps aren't even scheduled on the same day for a certain reason, because it's a lot. And so I would high jump and then long jump on the other day because it's a 2-day event. But yeah, I don't train for all 7 events at one day. And that's why it's so hard to actually, to get better, because you don't get to just focus on one thing. You have you have to break it up. And so the process is long. But it so was it in the end.
You're in college too, correct?
Yes. I'm like a 5th year. I graduated in December, but I have like a whole season left. But
how do you train for the Olympics and still be in school? School kicked my ass. I couldn't even graduate. And I ended up dropping out after 4.5 years. I couldn't imagine if I was, and I was just DJing and doing radio. Like, I can't imagine if I was training for the Olympics and then you're juggling school too. That's amazing.
I didn't wake up in college and be like, you know, I'm going to start training for the Olympics.
Right.
My training for the Olympics started when I first started track and field. It started when my dad and my support system were like, you know what, Tyra? You can go a long way in this. And I will, you know, that's when my training started. So it's years of, you don't just wake up an Olympian. I'm sorry.
No, of course not.
The reason why it's such a big deal because of what it takes, the dedication. Like, honestly, not real talk. I didn't even have time for friends. Like I went through college because I didn't even get the college experience because I had to make sure that I'm setting myself up for success. You know, I mean, sacrifices. I mean, I wish I would have balanced it better. I could have handled friends. I just was so zoned in on one thing. But being a student athlete is not all flowers and ponytails. Like everyone thinks, I don't know why they think it's great. I'm broke. Like, even though my school's paid for, like, I'm not being sent money. And it's a lot to juggle school. And I hate school like you.
You're doing it though. Like, and that's the thing is that you're training for the most intense athletic competition in the world.
Yeah.
And you're going to school at the same time and you're doing well at everything. Like that's that's an accomplishment. You know what I mean? Not many people can handle that. I can barely do my job and parent well. Like that kicks my ass. That's enough for me. You're like, this is crazy. The fact that you're able to do this. And I was just thinking that when you said your goal was to be the best in the world and you're that close to it, I was thinking like, wow, your goals and my goals are totally different because my goals are just to make it to Friday and make it to the weekend. And your goals are like, I want to be the best in the world. I'm like, shit, she's killing me right now. But at what age did that become your goal? Like at what point did you say, okay, I can do this. I can accomplish this.
and I'm going to go for it. Like, what, where was that in your timeline?
I said I wanted to be an Olympian before I even started track and field.
Wow.
Yeah, I did gymnastics. Gymnastics was my first sport, but I didn't think I wanted to go to the Olympics for gymnastics. I just knew I wanted to go. I knew I wanted to be a part of that. It's an amazing thing. The culture of the Olympics, it's a beautiful, and I wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, one thing led to the next goal was like, come this way. You want to go? Okay, let's go. And, you know, my dad, he was the one that kind of spotted that the passion. I mean, my family, I have 7 brothers and sisters. Wow. And so, like, you know, they all did sports. And, you know, my sister, my older sister, she ran track in high school. She hated it with a passion. Ended up playing volleyball at South Alabama in college. But I saw her and I was like, wow, I think I want to do that. Let's try that. And then my dad saw that I had passion for it. And it wasn't just like, oh, she's having fun. No, she was doing something. She was doing something great. And, you know, he kind of nurtured that and put me in the right environment and surrounded me with the right people to nurture that. And it wasn't until I realized my team and who I had behind me, I was like, oh wait, they're serious about this. Maybe they're seeing something I'm not. And then once I saw it, I was like, all right. And that definitely happened during high school with all those state championships and stuff.
That level of competition, it's just that kind of competition when it comes to athletics. It's like you get out there and you do what you do, and there's, if you win, you clearly win. If you don't, you clearly don't. Whereas like somebody in my line of work, it's like some people may think I'm great at what I do and some people may think I'm just absolute trash. And it's an opinion, a different opinion from person to person. But with what you do, it's clear. It's like, yeah. I won. I did not win. Do you like that kind of clear cut?
Oh, yeah. And it's, like I said, it's so objective. And that's one reason why I'm attracted to it, because there's no, politics can't really get involved. Well, yeah. It tries. Trust me, it's been trying. But it's just, it's hard because it's like, well, they didn't win. So why are they, this person won, this person needs to award, you know, stuff like that. It's right. Like, it's just easy to follow, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just like, he is obviously the fastest man in the world. Or she obviously jumps the furthest in the world, jumps the highest, or throws, you know, it's obvious. It's like,
you can see it.
Yeah. It's not just you can see it, but you can see how much better they are by, because right. Based off of second place, third place, you know what I mean? A world history record. It's not like, oh, you know, that's my favorite player, because it's not like that. It's either they win or they don't.
You're training for 2020. Do you think you come back in 2024?
Oh yeah.
What happens at the Olympics, you could win all the medals. And you're like, you know what? I'm coming back for more.
Yeah, because it's not Olympic. The Olympics is not just about the sport. You know, it's about nations coming together. It's about the experience. And this year, it's not the same experience because of COVID, you know, and right. I won't get to experience the actual Olympics, but I'm still going, you know, it's still the Olympics, but the fans and the crowd and the activities, I won't get to experience that. So you better believe I will be back again. <to experience
it. laughs> Are the next Olympics still going to be 2024? Or is it going to be 2025?
Oh, 2024. That's the reason why it's called 2020 still.
Okay.
Because they can't change up the pattern, because believe it or not, there's other events other than the Olympics. You know, and like, because World Championships and Commonwealth Games, they like every other year, you know, right. So they can't switch up the schedule because that throws off years of events that are already planned out.
Did you say you're graduating college in December?
Uh-huh.
And so at that point, are you going to stay there in Texas? Are you going to go back to Trinidad and Tobago? Or are you coming back to Nashville? What are your plans?
I will be going pro. Now, going pro is not the same thing as football and basketball.
Gotcha.
It's very individual. It's not, you don't just go in what is called the draft.
No, yeah, you get drafted.
We don't have a draft. Anyone can really go pro, but it's if you make money or not. You know, you won't have to be sponsored. You have to, not just by a big brand, but you have to be marketable. People have to want to sponsor you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yes, I do plan on going pro. You know, I can't really say much about it.
Understood.
Yeah, that's the goals after track and field.
How long does a typical track and field career last? Like, how long will you be pro for, do you think? Like, what would be a good career? How long is that?
It's definitely increased how long you can do track and field because of technology and, you know, nutrition is changing and people are able to actually perform better for longer. It's whenever I feel like I am complete. And I think that's going to be when I get the world record. So.
Okay. Well, I like how you say when. I love that. Speaking of nutrition, I'm glad you brought that up. What is kind of your regimen when it comes to eating?
You know, I get this question a lot because people think I have this very strict, but every athlete is different. Mm-hmm. I am not the same as my teammates, the other heptathlete. We don't have the same body. You know, right. I literally could eat this every single morning and it doesn't really affect me. But if my teammate does, it right. shows, you know what I mean? So you can tell when you're eating healthy because you have a lot more energy and your training is better, but you know, it doesn't like,
you're not the person that it makes a huge difference with whether you're eating healthy or not.
But you can feel when you feel lighter when you do. Gotcha. When I do pay attention to what I eat and I'm not eating freaking, I don't know, tacos every morning. Right. It's just fine. You just have to keep it balanced. You know, I might go out all week, one week and just munch. And then that weekend, honestly, my body can't eat unhealthy food for too long. I would throw it up. Like it just, I can't, if I start to eat candy for like 3 days, my body would be like, what are you doing? And I would be sick. I'll get sick. And so, I mean, I can try all I want, but I guess it's just years of living this lifestyle. And, you know, I can, my mind could want to do it, but my body's not going to let me. So I just kind of do it until I throw up.
I'm sure you're keeping it pretty healthy right now. This closer to the games though, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Except all right, that airhead.
Is there anybody in Nashville you want to shout out while you're here with me? Because we'll, you know, close this out.
And oh, here in a minute, this is the first time I've ever had to do this. And I always say I'm going to shout you out. Probably not going to remember who I said I was going to do that to. But obviously my parents and my family, the Gittin' Squad, we call ourselves the Gittin' Squad.
Okay.
Because we squad up in every single thing we do. But also my school, Endsort School, they have given me a great foundation. They've been really supportive throughout my career, really. And, you know, I wouldn't have been here without a lot of people from the Endsort family. And, you know, oh my gosh, who else? Me, I shout myself out. That's really it. Oh, and my coach John and coach Sig, my aunt Tyler, they're it's so important for athletes to have good coaches, and a lot of them don't, especially young athletes, because that's the time that you need to get a good foundation and be developed correctly, and a lot of them don't. But I was blessed to have the greatest coaches at a young age to help me develop correctly. So like, shout out to them for real. Like they're amazing.
And run down all the events you're going to be competing, because we're going to make sure that we're there supporting.
It's actually just long jump.
Just
I was
long jump.
2 points away from the standard in the heptathlon, and I was 1 centimeter. Well, the standard is 6'5". I jumped 6'4".
All right.
3/4.
Well, everybody in Nashville is going to be watching this long jump and pulling for you.
Yes.
To bring the gold home to Trinidad and Tobago. So, and then also home to Nashville as well, because we're, you know, you gotta bring that back here. And next time you're in town, you know, bring that gold medal by the studio. We can do this in person.
Awesome.
Hey, Tyra Gittins, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck. We're pulling for you. We hope you win. You're competing for Team Nashville, so yeah. We're pulling for you for sure.
Thank you.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you just want to get some people together to celebrate the end of the pandemic, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other. Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Tyra Gittins, for coming on. Make sure you support her if the games take place, which we hope that they are for Tyra's sake. I know she's super excited about it. You can follow her on a gram at Tyra Gittins. You can follow me as well at DoleWite101, DoleWite 101. And that's good for Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse, everything. Make sure you're following this podcast no matter what platform you're listening on. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, go on and hit them 5 stars for me. That's a huge favor. If you have time, drop a few good, nice words in a review. That would be big as well. Definitely appreciate all of the support I'm getting for the Dolomite Podcast. Brand new episode drops next Wednesday, 1 week from today. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday, if you're not, it's dropping the next Wednesday after you listen to this, unless you listen to this after. This is getting confusing. Anyway, brand new episode next week. My guest, Jessamine Stanley, author and yogi. Super excited about talking about body shaming and yoga and everything else that Jessamine Stanley does. So make sure you check me out next week. Thank you again for checking out the podcast.